Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Wednesday, 5th of September, marks 15 years since the death of Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta. To mark this occasion, I thought I'd bring you an interview with someone who knew her well. He's Monsignor Leo Marsberg, who recently wrote a book focusing on the years he spent with her as her spiritual advisor. The title of the book is Mother Teresa of Calcutta, A Personal Portrait, 50 Inspiring Stories Never Told Before. And it's published by Ignatius Press. The stories Monsignor Marsberg, who's currently National Director of the Pontifical Missionary Societies in Austria, recounts, date back to his years as a young priest and shed light on some of the lesser-known aspects of Mother Teresa as she travelled the world from India to Rome, from Moscow to Cuba to New York. Should you wish to find out more about Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta, do stay tuned and listen to this interview, which begins with Monsignor Marsberg highlighting how little we know about her as a person.
We know very little about her. We know her social activities. We don't know her spiritual depth, and we know little about the night of her soul. It will be interesting if we manage to convey to the world a little more about who she really was, that she was not only a social activist, but she was a real simple saint.
You're talking about the dark night of the soul, which goes back to St. John of the Cross, I believe. But you also say in the introduction to your book that she was a reluctant public figure.
Yes, she was a media star against her will. She never wanted to be a media star. At the beginning, if you look at the Malcolm Muggeridge film, the first Malcolm Muggeridge film, you see a shy person squeezed to the wall with a body language which would tell you that she really didn't want to do that interview. And if you compare that with Mother Teresa in the 80s, 90s, she would joke with the media, she would tell the photographers, please stop now because purgatory is empty. That was her agreement with the Lord, that for every picture taken by her, one soul would go from purgatory to paradise. She would say, no, that's enough, purgatory is empty. So she was learning, she was a star learning, and she became accustomed to the modern media.
A little bit more about the dark night of the soul you mentioned earlier.
Well, there's this book about it which documents the whole story of that dark night of the soul, but we don't know what does it mean in our faith, in the Catholic faith. Why is it the dark night of the soul? If we follow St. John of the Cross, he wrote extensively about that, but it was a pastoral writing. It was his pastoral writing. He said, I need that for the souls I accompany pastorally because they go through the night of the soul. Night of the soul is the point when God allows you not to understand anything anymore because we cannot understand God. We simply cannot. We can be guided towards God, but then at a certain moment our human mind, our human abilities cease. And that's the dark night of the soul, and Mother Teresa experienced that for at least 34 years, which is extraordinary. All the big saints have experienced it for a year at most, or 3 months. And she for 35 years. What that means for the quality of her sanctity, I don't know, but I expect some surprises.
Surprises, I imagine, which lead to the path towards her being declared a saint. But at this point, why don't we glimpse at some of the chapters in your book? For example, one which goes by the title, With the Poorest of the Poor. Correct me if I'm wrong, but for Mother Teresa, the poorest of the poor weren't just the needy in Calcutta, no?
Yes, she repeated often, you need not go to Calcutta to find the poorest of the poor. Look for them in your own family, find them, love them, and put your love for God into a living action for them. I believe that she has told us a lot about what Christ meant when he said, love one another as I have loved you. Because he loved us, that means you and me, exactly as we are. Not better, not worse, exactly as we are. He started loving us from the point where we are now, and he continues loving us wherever we get to. And Mother Teresa did that in an interesting twist with the Muslims and with the Hindu. She always treated them as complete equals, because she said, if you're a Muslim, be a good Muslim, then you come closer to God, and if you come closer to God, he can do with you what he wants. If you're a Catholic, be a good Catholic, because that will get you closer to God, and he can do with you what he wants. For her, it was important to get closer to God, not whether you're a Catholic, a Muslim, a Hindu, whatever. She was a Catholic 100% in her soul, in her actions, in her doing, in her teachings, but she said everybody, one could say, approaches God from a different side. And what is important is to get closer to God, not to get stuck on the way, lose your way, you lose your orientation. Just touch Christ in the poorest of the poor. That was her missionary method.
You have a chapter in which you talk about pilgrims, prostitutes and politicians. That's a strange combination, isn't it?
Well, they have one thing in common. They are poor. Each one of them has a poverty of its own. The pilgrim is looking for the aim of his pilgrimage. The prostitutes are not happy in what they are doing. They know they're doing it because they are in need of something. And the politicians never reach their aim in any way. But she dealt with all of them in exactly the same way, exactly the same kind, loving, profound way. And I think that makes her very special, and it made her special to the prostitutes, to the politicians, and to the pilgrims.
She was disarmingly charming in one story.
Disarmingly charming.
Can you be disarmingly charming?
Oh, yes, you can be disarmingly charming, because I could have gotten quite angry with her from time to time. I remember one incident in Zagreb when she sent me at 10 o'clock in the morning to change our ticket instead of going to Munich, to Warsaw. So I had to queue for an hour. That was still under the communist time. And I queued for an hour. Then I came back with the change ticket. I said, Mother, here it is. She said, oh, Father, I'm so sorry, but you know, we do have got to Munich. Please, could you go back and change the ticket again? So I walked back and I came back for lunch, very, very sort of angry. And I met one of the sisters and I said, today I learned what MC stands for. She said, Father, you know for sure it stands for much confusion. No, not only for missions of charity, but for much confusion. Then I had to change the ticket a third time. We had to go to Warsaw. In the airplane at 6 o'clock in the evening, I was sitting next to Mother Teresa and I said, Mother Teresa, today I learned what Missions of Charity MC really means, the abbreviation MC means. And she said, Mother, what does it mean? And I said, well, it means much confusion. And she said, yes, Father, but you know, it also means more confusion, mental case. And so she gave me, I think, 8 more meanings for MC. And with that, with her charming way, she saved the day.
So you accompanied her on her travels. In the book, there are photographs of you both in the Soviet Union and Armenia, if I am correct.
Mother Teresa started her first house in Moscow in 88, and her first house in Armenia at Christmas 88, 89, right after the earthquake. And I spent half a year there with the sisters. And so I came to know what the poverty, the local poverty, meant to the sisters, because the Mother Teresa always distinguished, maybe not rationally, but in her actions, between the three levels of poverty. Material poverty, which she found in Calcutta, India, and so on. Social poverty, which she found in the big capitals of the Western world, in New York, in Rome, in London. Loneliness, she said, loneliness is very, it's much more difficult to heal somebody from loneliness than to heal somebody from hunger, because you give him a piece of bread and he's not hungry anymore. But if somebody's lonely, it's much deeper. But then she came to the third level, which was spiritual poverty. If you don't know God, if you don't have the possibility to approach him, if you're not allowed to know about him. And that for her was the biggest poverty. And so she took the sisters to Moscow in 1988, precisely with the purpose to serve all three levels of poverty, material, spiritual, and social.
On the cover of your book, there's an autograph by Mother Teresa which reads, Dear Father Leo, be holy like Jesus. God bless you, Mother Teresa.
Well, she gave these little sentences to almost everybody, and she gave a great number to us, because she always wanted to give something. She wanted always to give you, to show her love in a way by giving something. whether these were material things or her autographs. And so I have a number of these autographs. But they are very deep. Be holy like Jesus. That's it. It's very simple.
The last chapter has a title, Mother Teresa Lives.
Mother Teresa is still alive. Yes, I think it was the late Cardinal Foley who said that Mother Teresa's beatification. He said, if you want to see Mother Teresa nowadays, look at the sisters, because they do what Mother Teresa did. And I believe that's true. If you look at the sisters around the world, you find that, one could say, genetic code of Mother Teresa in the sisters. The same patience, kindness, the same love for the poor, the same poverty, the same obedience. And I believe that's the big compliment to the sisters. If they live up to what Mother Teresa expected from them, then they will be similar to Mother Teresa.
And you were listening there to Monsignor Leo Marsberg speaking about his book, which goes by the title of Mother Teresa of Calcutta, A Personal Portrait, 50 Inspiring Stories Never Told Before, published by Ignatius Press. Monsignor Marsberg is currently National Director of the Pontifical Missionary Societies in Austria. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.